أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. It is with great appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are, alhamdulillah, fasting another Ramadan and are blessed by the bounties He is going to give us, inshallah, in this month. And we pray that Allah would increase our capacity to receive whatever He is giving to His servants who are sincere to Him and worship Him for progression and perfection. This year our program is changed a little bit. As you see, in previous years we had two separate programs, one Farsi, one English, and this year just to come together and see each other more, the center has decided to have one program, partially in English and partially in Persian. The part in English, of course, would be a bit longer and would last until about 10 minutes before the Maghrib, and then in the last 10 minutes, the speakers, including myself, inshallah, will talk in Farsi to about a hadith or to recap whatever was mentioned in English. I just explained this in Farsi, if my English speaker audience allow me, and then inshallah we'll start the lecture. عرض کردم که امسال برنامه ها یه مقداری تغییر کرده برای اینکه ما بیشتر دور هم باشیم، هم جمعیت انگلیسی زبان هم فارسی زبان. قرار شده که برنامه ها به صورت یک جا انجام بشه، یعنی همینجا ما سخنرانی انگلیسی خواهیم داشت، در آخر هم چند دقیقه انشالله به فارسی سخنرانان صحبت خواهند کرد، و از اونجایی که بیشتر جمعیت فارسی زبان ما هم نزدیک آخر مجلس تشریف فرما میشن، شاید این مناسب ترین بخشی باشه که میشه برنامه رو تنظیم کرد. In Ramadan, because we are a little bit detached from our physical needs, we try to detach ourselves from those needs and we think more about worshiping, reflection, contemplation. We certainly have a more spiritual attitude. This spiritual attitude, of course, is not one-sided. It's from both sides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of rahmah and would create a sort of atmosphere in the whole month, especially in the nights of Qadr, as the angels also descend to the earth, so that those who want to move towards God, move closer to Him, are facilitated in a way on their path. And on this side as well, there are some prerequisites for that. We should abstain from many things that we usually used to do during the year. This is one of the best types of worship that ever has been legislated by religions. Of course, all religions have had this fast. A change in the normal and ordinary way of life, a change in the way we treated ourselves and we treated the world. And that change would give us a new direction, a new movement towards God. And as I said, on the other side, God opens the doors, make it easy for those who want to repent, for those who want to go closer to Him. And therefore, this month is the month of blessing, the month in which, inshallah, we try to somehow make up for whatever we have missed during the whole year. In this series of talks that I am here with you on these nights of Ramadan, I thought we go through a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam about the rites or about the type of treatment that we should have with regards to different things. If we imagine ourselves as human beings, our relations could be categorized into different types, different classes. First is our relations to ourselves. What are our rights and our duties inside? What should a person do in their individual life, in their individual endeavors, inside, without any relation with the outside world? How should they treat themselves? This is one aspect of our relations. The other aspect, and the more important aspect, is the way we treat God, our Creator. Of course, Allah has left us free to deal with different things in any way we want. We can reject God, we can accept Him, we can appreciate, we can be ungrateful, whatever. So, how we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is another aspect of our life. The third aspect is how we deal with the people. This is another side of human life, how we deal with other people, with the khalq. And the fourth and very important side of our attitudes, relations, directions in life is how we take this dunya, the life of this world. What is our attitude towards it? And that's why in Misbah al-Sharia, a book which is attributed to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, of course not written by himself, but written by apparently one of his students, of course all the traditions are from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam talks about ubudiyyah. We all want to be good servants of God. Ibadullah. Ibadullah have a high position in the Quran. And says ubudiyyah has different aspects. Ubudiyyah is not just worshipping God, coming to the mosque, praying or fasting. This is one aspect of ubudiyyah. In ubudiyyah, in servitude of God, we have to take into consideration four different sides of our existence, four different aspects. What are those four different aspects? This is what he mentions. First of all, ubudiyyah, servitude to God, is a sort of action with which we display from ourselves. Whether this action is in the heart or is manifest outside with our limbs, manifest in our tongue, manifest in our relation to people. So ubudiyyah is a type of action we show is an initiation from inside. And therefore, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when he wants to describe ubudiyya or servitude to God, he says it is summarized in different treatments. How we treat different things. We may treat them as a servant of God. We may treat them as someone who rejects God. We may treat them as a grateful creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may treat them as an ungrateful person who does not care about who has created him, where has he come from, what is he doing in this world, where is he going to go. This is, of course, ungratefulness. This is rashness, so to speak. So, the ubudiyya, servitude to God, is enclosed in different treatments that we have. And Imam alayhi salam summarizes these in four basic interaction between us and different things. So he says, usulul mu'amalat. Mu'amala here means treatments, interactions, the fundaments, the basis of all human interactions or actions are restricted on these four. Taqa'u ala arba'ata awjuh. Would happen on four different planes. Mu'amalatullah wa mu'amalatul nafs wa mu'amalatul khalq wa mu'amalatul dunya. The way we treat God. Okay, in this way, in this sense, yes, we have to be grateful, we have to remember him all the time. We have to worship him. We have to obey his commands. This is, of course, Imam explains in more full details about what are the different branches of mu'amalatullah, the way we treat Allah. And I tell you, if we reflect deep, we see that all of us, the way we treat Allah stands much short of what he deserves, much short of what he deserves. No matter whether we fast all Ramadan or even all months of the year, we pray all nights, we do all acts of charity, the way we treat Allah stops much shorter than what he deserves. What he deserves, of course, is explained here by Imam alayhi salam, but the root of all that is that sense of humility and humiliation in the heart, which stems from gratefulness, appreciation, which in turn results in love, results in bondsmanship, so to speak, makes you an abd, not an abd which is forced to be an abd, a voluntary abd, an abd which, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Elahi kafa bi izzan an akuna laka abda. It is my dignity to be your abd, to be your servant. This is how it goes. So, mu'amalatullah. The second aspect is mu'amalatun nafs, the way we treat ourselves, the way we are inside ourselves, our attitudes. For example, do we rely? Do we have reliance on God? Do we have patience? Do we have forbearance? The way we are inside ourselves. The third type of treatment is mu'amalatul khalq, the way we treat people. You know, some people are very kind, very generous, very good to others. And everyone says, that's enough for a good person. You be good to others, you are good, you are the best person. That here, of course, this hadith, and of course our reason, rational understanding would tell us that, no, that's not enough. This person who's very kind, who's very generous, where has he come from? Who has created him? Is he giving the due respect to his or her creator? Well, that's one aspect of this person. What about inside? What sort of attitude this person has inside? And lastly, what sort of attitude this person has towards this world, life of this world? By world, I don't mean creation altogether, life of this world, the fleeting life. What sort of attitude they have? So the fourth aspect of treatment is mu'amalatu dunya, the way we treat this, the life of this world. This is what Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, that would somehow sum up all types of interactions and treatments that we have in this world towards different things. And of course, all of us are different with regards to each one of them. What is the best treatment of Allah? Especially we are in need of this in month of Ramadan, because we want to get closer to Him. You know, all the time we say we want to get closer to God, get closer to God, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a barrier there and He doesn't want us to get closer to Him. It's not like that. We do not make the effort. Wishful aspiration is not enough. I mean, everyone in this world wants to do many things, but they don't do it. They don't put their efforts in it. Allah has not put any barrier for us to go close to Him. Rather, on the opposite, He's trying to take, to remove the barriers that we put in front of ourselves, so that we go closer to Him. The problem is that we don't know how should we treat Him to get closer to Him. And we do not want to learn, and even if we learn, we do not act upon it. So the Imam explains each one of these in a very eloquent way. So, usul mu'amalat Allah, this is the summary of what we are going to talk, inshallah, in these 10 nights. Usul mu'amalat Allah, the way we have to treat Allah. Then the way we have to treat our nafs. Then the way we have to treat the people. Then the way we have to treat the life of this world. We have to look at these things in the way which would be conducive to growth and perfection. For each of these categories, Imam mentions 7 principles. So, mu'amalatullah is based on 7 principles. If you fulfill these 7 principles, then you are one of those great servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are one of those who Allah mentions in the Quran, for example, ni'ma al-abd. What a good servant he was about Sulaiman or Ayyub. Ni'ma al-abd. What a good servant he was. In the same way, the principles of the treatment of the nafs is based on 7 principles. The treatment of people is based on 7 principles, and the treatment of dunya is based on 7 principles. And these, inshallah, we'll try to cover in these 10 nights of Ramadan. Amma usul mu'amalatillahi ta'ala fasab'atun. The principles of treatment of Allah are 7. Ada'u haqqihi, fulfilling His rights. fulfilling his rights. Of course, we know that no one can fulfill his rights based on human capacity. Based on human capacity, fulfilling his rights. وَحِفْظُ حَدِّهِ and observing his limits. Of course, we'll explain all what they mean. Fulfilling his rights, observing his limits, وَشُكْرُ عَطَائِهِ appreciation of his gifts. This is where we are somehow, all of us have shortcomings. We take his gifts for granted. We think that we deserve it. He has to give us. So this is one aspect we have to look into. شُكْرُ عَطَائِهِ وَالرِّضَى بِقَضَائِهِ and to be content with his decrees. What does that mean, to be content with his decrees? Of course, Allah is managing the world, and Allah is managing these 7 billion people on the earth. Now, if whatever I want is given to me, it may harm the whole, the bigger management of the world. It may be harmful to others. It may disrupt the whole global society or whatever we are in, the community. So he has to decree that, no, whatever you want, I cannot give you now. You have to be patient. So his decree is not according to what we wish. It's not according to what we want. Now, we can have two different attitudes here. We can say, God, you don't understand. Why? Why don't you give me what I want? Aren't you powerful? Aren't you merciful? And all these sort of silly things, thoughts that come to our minds. The other thing is that, the other attitude is to say, God, you know, I don't know. You are the source. I am your creature. So whatever you say, whatever you decree, this is الرِّضَى بِقَضَائِهِ, to be content with whatever he decrees. And we know this is the case. Look at how the prophets, peace be on them, were content with whatever Allah decreed. We know that the people who endured the most difficult hardships were the prophets. You cannot imagine someone seeing the truth, seeing the bright and brilliant reality of the world, and then he is sent by God to people who are blind, they don't see anything. And God says, you have to guide them. You have to give my message to them. And then these people start animosity against them, want to kill them, want to torture them, and still they have to endure. Now, that's why they say, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاء. The people who bore the brunt of all tribulations in this world were the prophets. But you can see how content they were, because of course the knowledge they had. I just mentioned one story from the Quran. Nuh alayhi salam. You know, we are always worried about our children. And sometimes if our children go wrong, we think that the world has come to an end. And it is really, it is difficult. We are happy if all balaya and tribulations and difficulties come to us, but not to our children. And one of the most difficult of these troubles that may strike our children is if they lose faith. If they lose faith. If they do not want to follow. We cannot do anything about it. The whole world will become dark to us. Oh God, I have worshipped you all my life. Now look at my child. They don't want to listen to me. They don't want to follow your path. What will happen to them? What about their hereafter? Okay, you shouldn't think that. We shouldn't think that we are alone in this. The prophets actually bore and endured such problems and troubles. And the most outstanding mention in the Quran, of course, not everything is mentioned in the Quran, not every story of every prophet is mentioned in the Quran, but one of those stories mentioned in the Quran is the story of Noah and his son. So stubborn. He didn't want to listen to his father. However, his father thought that he will be good. He will come on way. He will follow. Until the day when the deluge came, when the flood came. And son of Nuh decided categorically that he's not going to be with his father. He's going to be with the kuffar. Come what may. Even if he is drawn, he's not going to be with his father. However, Nuh was given a promise by Allah that when the flood comes, when the deluge comes, you and all your Ahlul Bayt will be saved. Now, the deluge comes, his son is drawn. وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ وَهُوَ فِي مَعْزِلٍ يَا بُنَيَّ يَرْكَبْ مَعْنَا وَلَا تَكُنْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He said, oh my dear son, يَا بُنَيَّ, still with that fatherly affection that he had for his son, يَا بُنَيَّ, my dear son, come and board on this ark with us. Do not be with the disbelievers. قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلٍ يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He said, no, I will take refuge in a mountain and the water would not come there. It would protect me from water. قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمْ. No protection is available on this day except for whoever Allah has mercy upon. They were just in the course of this discussion, as وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ, a huge wave came and the sun was drawn. And of course, the Nuh was busy with all the affairs of managing that ark in that terrible storm, terrifying storm, until everything subsided and everything calmed down. And Nuh suddenly realized that his son was drawn. وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي. Nuh said, my Lord, my son is from my Ahlul Bayt, is from my Ahl, my family. رَبِّ إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَكَ الْحَقِّ. Your promise is true. You never renege in your promise. However, look, this is where a prophet stands in his position. وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. You, of course, you judge. You are the best of all judges. I'm not objecting. I'm asking. My son is from my Ahlul Bayt, is from my family. You promised you will save my family. However, the judgment is yours. This is the manner of prophets when they spoke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike us, isn't it? The way we speak to him as we are commanding him, why you do this, why you do that? If we don't say it by on tongue, we have it in our hearts. Now, قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. I told your أَهْل, but I didn't mean أَهْل in terms of relation, family in terms of relation. I meant anyone who followed you. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَحْلِكْ. Do not regard him as your family. Because the family of prophets are not their wives or their children or their uncles or their fathers. The family of the prophets are their true followers. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَحْلِكْ. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. He was someone who had bad deeds. So how do you say he's from your family? إني أعظك أن تكون من الجاهلين. Now, I am just teaching you so that you do not be among those who do not know. And here, Nuh realizes, even asking was a mistake. This is the contentment, isn't it? Even asking was a mistake. قال رب إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما. This is the whole point. أسألك ما ليس لي به علم. I seek refuge in you. I ask you things that I have no knowledge about. It's just like a blind person just throwing things in the air, isn't it? If we have no knowledge and we ask, we are throwing things on the air. And that, of course, brings contentment. That brings humiliation. That brings rida. Ar-rida biqada'i Allah. What the Imam says, ar-rida biqada'ih. Now this, of course, gives us a hint about Ahlul Bayt, our Prophet as well. If son of Nuh is not from his Ahlul Bayt, then all these commentaries of the Quran which talk about إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهَبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Who are the Ahlul Bayt? Okay, literally Ahlul Bayt are the family members of family, wives, uncles, cousins, if they live together, children, they are all Ahlul Bayt of a Prophet. No. Ahlul Bayt of a Prophet are different. Those who are close to Prophet are different. They are not close by kinship. They are close by attitude of the heart. So when the Prophet says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I do not want any reward from you, but your love for those who are close to me. Then he should himself explain, who are those who are close to him? Ya Rasulullah, who are they? And then he explains, these are those who are close to me. Of course, they are members of his family, but those members who follow, not those members who do not follow. There's one very beautiful tradition based on what is mentioned in the Quran. You know, the Jews, at the time of the Prophet, they regarded themselves as the heir of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they thought that because we are heirs of Ibrahim, because we are chosen, we have the right and monopoly over Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim, of course, is the master of monotheism. Now the Quran says, "Inna awla an-nas bi Ibrahim lalladhina taba'uh." The closest people to Ibrahim are those who follow him. Who follow him. وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ. And this prophet. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And the believers. Yes, Salman al-Farsi was from Iran. Bilal was from Abyssinia. Others from others. Suhaib was from Rome. But they are closest to Ibrahim than the Jews, who are his descendants. Yes. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And those who believe in this prophet. And this is why Prophet, peace be on him, said, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي. This is beautiful hadith. Beautiful hadith. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِي الْمُتَّقُونَ. أينما كانوا وحيثما كانوا. The closest people to me are the muttaqun. Wherever they are, whoever they are. They are Arabs, they are Persians, they are British, they are European, they are American, they are African. The closest people to me are muttaqun. Wherever they are, whoever they are. So, well, we somehow digressed from our discussion from Rida biqada'ihi to those people who are closer to prophets and their Ahlul Bayt and whatever. Ar-Rida biqada'ihi wa sabru ala bala'ih, the fifth one, to be patient on his tribulations, because he's like a surgeon who treats the patients. So you have to be patient, you have to bear, endure whatever he does and accept it. وَتَعْظِيمُ حُرْمَتِهِ, keeping his respect. وَالشَّوْقُ إِلَيْهِ, and the most important thing is to have a longing to see him, have a longing towards him. Okay, inshallah, we'll discuss these in more details in the following nights, and also the other principles of treatment or interaction with one's own soul, with the people, and with the world. Now, I would like to read the hadith in Persian for the benefit of our Persian-speaking audience, and inshallah, ask dua from everyone. ده دقیقه به صحبت فارسی میپردازیم. یک روایت میخوام عرض بکنم از کتاب شریف کافی. درباره عبودیت، چون بحثی که ما اینجا میکردیم درباره عبودیت بود و اینکه عبودیت بر چه وجوهی قرار میگیره، از امام جعفر صادق علیه السلام، قال فی التورات مکتوب یا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتی املع قلبک غنا ولا اکلک الى طلبک و علی ان اسد فاقتک. در تورات نوشته شده، این روایاتی که ما البته از ائمه علیهم السلام داریم یا از پیغمبر اکرم داریم که میفرمان در تورات نوشته شده، خب در اون ورشن واقعی تورات منظورشونه، چون علم پیغمبران و ائمه به تورات و انجیل علم لدن نیست، علم قلبی است، علمی نیست که از روی خواندنش، خواندن تورات مثلا یا انجیل کسب کرده باشن. لذا اون ورشن حقیقی تورات، حالا ممکنه اون چیزی که ائمه علیهم السلام میگن در تورات اون زمان یا در تورات فعلی موجود باشه یا ممکن موجود نباشه، ولی خب اون چیزی که امام میفرماید متقن‌تر است. در تورات نوشته شده که ای فرزند آدم، قلبت رو برای عبادت من فارغ کن. خیلی حدیث پرمغزی است، خیلی پرمغزه، مخصوصا الان ماه رمضانه و ما باید کمی فارغ بشیم برای عبادت پروردگار. قلبت رو برای عبادت من فارغ کن تا من قلبت رو از بی‌نیازی پر کنم. یکی از مشکلات همه انسان‌ها این حرص و نیازمندی است که دارن. نیازمندی انسان با پول و با این چیزا که رفع نمیشه، با داشتن رفع نمیشه. حرص مثل این دنیا، به قول روایت مثل آب شور میمونه، شما هرچی بیشتر بخوری تشنه تر میشی. حرص چیزیست که هرچی انسان از این دنیا بیشتر داشته باشه بهش حریص‌تر میشه. و این حرص به دنیا چی میاره؟ دغدغه خاطر میاره، نگرانی میاره، فراموشی یاد خدا میاره. خب ای فرزند آدم، قلبت رو برای عبادت من فارغ کن، من قلب تو رو از بی‌نیازی پر می‌کنم. دیگه اصلاً برای تو مهم نیست چیزا، این انقدر بی‌نیازی، انقدر کوچک در نظر تو این چیزها. یا یک مثالی بزنم، این مورچه ها رو دیدین میرن دانه جمع میکنن در طول تابستان برای زمستان، میارن با چه زحمتی میکشونن میبرن توی لونه شون. تا حالا شده شما به این دونه هایی که این مورچه ها جمع میکنن حسادت بکنید؟ تا حالا شده بگید که یه ذرهش هم کاشکی من وردارم، یا کاشکی مقدارش هم مال من باشه؟ نه، فکر نمی کنم کسی همچین، کسی هیچ کس همچین فکر نمی کنم. چرا؟ چون اینقدر بی‌ارزشه در چشم شما، اینقدر کوچکه، هیچی رو در هیچ خلایی رو در زندگی شما پر نمی کنه. اگر کسی به مقام عبودیت برسه، دنیا براش همین شکل میشه، دنیا براش همین حالت میشه. یه صلواتی مرحمت بفرمایید. دنیا براش همین حالت میشه، مثل این دونه هایی که مورچه ها جمع میکنن میبرن لونشو، اصلا دیگه اهمیتی نداره براش. این کسیست که قلبش رو برای عبادت خدا خالص کنه. این که میفرماید قلبت رو از بی نیازی پر میکنم، شاید ما نفهمیم یعنی چی بی نیازی نسبت به این دنیا، شاید نفهمیم یعنی چی. یبن آدم تفرغ لعبادتی املع قلبک غنا، قلبت رو از غنا و بی نیازی پر میکنم. ولا اکلک الا طلبک، تو رو به خودت وا نمیگذارم که هرچی دوست داری بری به دست بیاری، نه، من برات تصمیم میگیرم چی برات خوبه چی برات بده. ولی اگه عبادت من رو ترجیح ندی، اون وقت برو هر کاری دارید بخواد بکن، آزادی دیگه، تو این دنیا ما آزادی. ولی اگر قلبت رو برای عبادت من فارغ کردی، اون وقت من تو رو به طلبت واگذار نمی کنم. اگر خوبه برات میازرمش، ولو این که سخت‌ترین چیزا باشه. اگر بده نمیگذارم بهت برسه، تو رو با طلبت با اون چیزی که میخوای به خودت واگذار نمی کنم. و من تضمین میکنم نیاز تو رو در این دنیا برطرف میکنم. نیاز تو رو، نه بیشتر از نیازها، بیشتر از نیاز به درد نمیخوره، نیازت رو برطرف میکنم. یک وقتی پیغمبر اکرم از کنار باقی رد میشدن، خرماهایی از این باق ریخته بود روی زمین، پیغمبر ور میداشتن میخوردن. یکی از اصحاب با ایشان بود، فرمودن یا رسول الله این خرماها رو میخورید؟ فرمود که 4 روز هیچی نخوردم، 4 روزه هیچی نداشتم که بخورم، نیازم نداشته پیغمبر. وقت این آیه رو تلاوت کردن، و کعی من دابتن لا تحمل رزقها، چه بسیار از موجودات در این زمین هستن که روزیشون رو جمع نمی کنید. لا تحمل رزقها یعنی اینکه روزیشون رو وردن از یه جا برن یه جا دیگه جمع بکنن. مثلا مورچه جمع میکنه، خیلی از حیوانات جمع میکنن، انسان جمع میکنه، ولی میفهمد چه بسیار از موجودات در این عالم که رزقشون رو جمع نمی کنن. ولی الله یرزقها و ایاکم، خداوند به اونها و به شما روزی میده. از این که قلبمون رو برای عبادت خدا خالص بکنیم نباید بترسیم. حالا حدیث دنباله داره، منتها معنای خالص کردن و فارغ کردن قلب برای عبادت این نیست که انسان همش بشینه در مسجد یا در خونه دعا بخونه و نماز بخونه، نه. مرحوم ملا صالح مازندرانی که از شارحان کتاب شریف کافی هستند، میفرمایند که منظور از این که قلبت رو برای عبادت من فارغ کنی که محبت دنیا رو از قلبت بیار بیرون. انسان اگر محبت دنیا رو از قلبش آورد بیرون، اون وقت قلبش فارغ میشه برای عبادت خداوند. تفرغ قلبی قلبک لعبادتی، قلبت رو برای عبادت من فارغ کن. در این روز اول ماه مبارک رمضان و در این ساعت استجابت دعا، از پروردگار متعال طلب میکنیم، به درگاهش دعا میکنیم که انشالله این ماه مبارک رو، این ماه رمضان رو بهترین ماه رمضان عمر ما قرار بدهد. انشالله در این ماه وسائل تقرب و نزدیکی به مقام قدس خودش رو به همه ما عطا بفرماید. انشالله در این ماه شریف حاجاتی رو که به درگاهش میبریم بدون پاسخ نگذارد. پروردگار را به حق محمد و آل محمد، اموات جمع حاضر، اموات مؤمنین و مؤمنات ببخش و بیامرز، مریضان همه این جمع شفا عنایت بفرما، حاجات مشروعه، حاجات دنیوی و اخروی این جمع رو اجابت به خیر بگردان، امر فرج ولی ما حضرت حجت نزدیک بگردان، مشکلات و فتنه ها از امت اسلام دور بگردان، به حق محمد و آل محمد.